How y'all doing? For some reason I'm bleeding this morning, so I don't know what the deal is. When you get old, things like that happen. So I'll be dabbing this maybe once in a while. I'm your emergency fill-in teacher this morning. Lynn asked me to teach last Saturday at Valley View. He asked me at Valley View, not to teach at Valley View. I told him that I told him no. I'm not a teacher. And you'll find that out pretty soon. I'm not a Bible scholar, and I'm not very smart. But I can talk about myself and how God's worked in my life. And I can talk about my providence, my story of amazing grace. Some of you have heard this before, at least a version of this, when I interviewed myself on Stories of Amazing Grace. So I apologize if this is going to be a repeat for some of you. And apologize also for I'm going to be reading quite a bit of this. But the dictionary defines the work. Yes, it works. The dictionary defines providence as divine intervention in the affairs of man, confines of natural law to bring about God's objectives. Have you ever experienced providence in your life? So be thinking. If you have, I'm sure you have. Perhaps you can share some of this at the end here if we have time. Am I cutting out? Yep. Want to try the mic? Okay, how's that? How's that? Better? Maybe? Okay, we'll try that. Hello. Okay, good. Some scriptures to reflect on. Matthew 6:25-26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So basically it says, don't worry about tomorrow. God is going to take care of you. Another scripture to consider is Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 16:9, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And in Galatians, children, Christians that is, are to walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. Some preliminary thoughts on providence. Providence is best seen in hindsight. Belief in divine providence requires a belief in a personal God, a personal active God. Some of you may remember Steve Hemphill. He was on Stories of Amazing Grace, and he quoted this, God is not the great I used to could, he is the great I am. I'm not sure we believe that much anymore, but I thought that was a good quote from him. God is still active in our lives. Why pray if God is not part of our daily lives? And providence does not conflict with free will. God allows us to make choices, otherwise we would be robots. He wants us to choose to love him, to choose to follow him or not. And there's a difference between providence and God's permissive will. Everything that happens in your life, at least I don't think so, you may have a different opinion on this, is not necessarily God's providence. We have the freedom to mess up. A drunk driver has the freedom to cross over the center line and hit us and kill us all. So first off, I have been blessed. I married a godly woman. You see how godly we are. She's smarter than I am, at least in some things. She has the ability to put up with or compartmentalize her husband's very strange personality for the past 52 years. We had a wonderful daughter who had a very strong relationship with God. As many of you know, she died in an accident at the age of 21 when she fell 60 feet while hiking with her fiancé. I'm still trying to process that, how that fits into my providence. I believe, yes, it was an accident, but I also sometimes wonder, was it punishment for me not being the father I should have been? It was definitely a major teaching moment from God, I think, to help me be more compassionate to others. So I'm still processing that in my life. Having said all that, let's begin. If you were asked, other than a biblical character, what person has had the most positive influence in your life, what would you say? Who? Daniel, meaning a biblical character? Non-biblical character. That's okay. Well, for me, it was a high school electronics teacher. He had a habit of throwing racers at the students to get their attention. It was also the marching band director, Mr. Herman Dash, in case you remember his name. He was loud but taught us perfection in marching, and my first grade teacher, Miss Berkey. They had great love for the students and wanted us to reach our full potential in our lives. In my case, and maybe in your cases, it was not just one person, but it was a lifetime of people, a lifetime of circumstances and events that influenced me. I believe God answered questions about my future before I even asked them. So let me explain. Let's pretend that before I was born, I asked God three questions. Number one, God, I want to produce stories of amazing grace someday. Can you help me? Now, Stories of Amazing Grace was a feature segment on the old Amazing Grace Bible class many years ago. It's now an interview program. God, I want to touch people's hearts when they see a video of the face of a hungry Romanian orphan starved for attention. And we had some video of that when I went to Romania. I want people to feel compassion for a grandfather who accidentally shot his grandson in the head. We did a story on that. I want my guests to feel comfortable to share their struggles, to share their addictions, their triumphs on Stories of Amazing Grace. I want to touch people's lives. Can you help me? Through providence, God may have said, you need to experience a little bit of suffering and struggle in your own life before you can relate to the suffering and struggles of other people. So here's what I'm going to do. Your parents are going to separate and get a divorce while you're still in your mother's womb. I used to think, oh, woe is me. That's a terrible thing. But looking back, I never really missed my father because I didn't have a father. Now, I know that's kind of strange, I guess. Many of you had fathers in your life and know the influence he had on your life. My brother, he's 8 years older, he greatly missed not having a father because he was around some when he was a child. But in my case, he was not there. So I don't have much memory of a father, and I don't really miss my father. But a father figure, I do realize, would have been helpful in my life and me being a father. My mother and father staying together maybe would have made matters worse. I recently found out that my father had an affair with a co-worker, and that's the reason they divorced, the reason they separated. I did not know that until last month. You're going to be raised in a barn. I understand that they had to shovel manure out of a barn before it was livable as a house, but that was my first home, was a barn. Your mother is going to threaten to kill you twice. Once with a butcher knife standing at the foot of my bed. Another time threatening to slam the car we were riding in into a utility pole in the interstate. I kind of hesitate to bring up those things because I don't want to badmouth my mother because I know I'm going to see her someday in heaven. But there were many, many good times. And she struggled to raise two boys emotionally and financially. It was a very stressful situation for her. But there were several emotional, mental snapping moments with my mother that was displayed to me in my youth, and those two stand out. You will often eat county welfare food from brown bags on the kitchen table containing oatmeal, flour, sugar, and rice. You will notice that other families have different food in their homes. Your aunts will bring food from their garden, and you think it's a treat, but it's really a necessity just to stay alive. You'll grow up without an indoor bathroom. You know what it's like to visit a two-hole privy in the wintertime. Have you experienced that? A one-hole privy, perhaps? Okay. Your water will come from an outdoor pump, and you'll have to prime that pump. You'll break the ice in a frozen bucket of water in the kitchen in the morning to get your drink. And you'll take your shower by standing in a 3-foot diameter galvanized tub while a bucket of water is poured over your head. That's how I took my bath. And you'll sleep in a closed-off room heated by a wood stove because your mother cannot afford to heat the whole house. At night, the living room will turn into a bedroom. Now, those things are minor compared to what many of you have gone through. You've had deaths in your family. Maybe you have experienced cancer, or someone in your family has. You've had other situations and struggles. And these may be luxuries compared to what you have experienced. And they are luxuries, what I have experienced, compared to other places in the world, such as Haiti and Honduras and Nigeria and Papua New Guinea. They would be glad to have a pump and a well of water. But in my case, I believe it's God's way of helping to prepare me to identify with the people I interview on Stories of Amazing Grace who have struggles. Question number two, people say I have a good voice. I would like to be on radio and TV. Can you help me? I'd like to anchor the news on TV. I'd like to produce a TV feature called Souter and Friends. I'd like to host a daily TV magazine show. I'd like to be well known in a small town. I'd like to be a big fish in a small pond. Can you help me? Well, God may have said, that's a rather tall order. Your voice is not developed. You lack self-confidence. You're an introvert. You need a broader view of the world and of people. And you need a boost in your education. By the way, my voice is still not developed. In normal conversation, I speak too fast. I mumble. I don't enunciate. I have difficulty pronouncing words, so I still have problems. But God said, here's what I'm going to do. Through my providence, I'm going to move you from a small town in Indiana of 500 people at the age of 14. And we moved to New Jersey. My mother remarried. We're going to move to the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area of around 20 million people. Instead of your comfortable eighth grade class of 14 students, you'll experience a high school freshman class of 600 students, and you'll know what it's like to be just a number among 2,400 students in your high school. Your view of people will broaden after you move from an all-white Indiana county to the melting pot of the world. You'll be exposed to blacks and Italians and Puerto Ricans and people who have never heard of your Church of Christ belief system. Kids will make fun of your southern Indiana country accent. An example would be Henry Kissinger. He kind of mumbled like that. That's kind of the way we talked, the way I talked at that time. And if you were calling the fire department, if you lived in southern Indiana, it would be the FAR department. You'd call the FAR department. So they made fun of that. But your high school English teacher, Miss Zerold, will help you. She's going to meet with you during lunch in a separate room on the second floor of the high school and help you speak properly. She'll also work on your guttural sound, which is kind of like Henry Kissinger. And God said, I'm going to work on your education also, because basically, you're not very smart. Quality education was lacking at the school I attended in Indiana. Now, several did very well going to that small school, but I did not for some reason. I spent way too much time watching black and white TV and reading comic books. I don't remember reading regular books growing up as a child. And many of you were exposed to books, and my wife exposed our child, Jennifer, to books. But I don't remember reading books as a child except Superman and Batman and so on. And God says, so I'm going to place you in a lower level English class, a lower level drafting class, and a special reading class. In the drafting class, the teacher said, boys, if you just learn this drafting skill, you'll be able to get a job and make $125 a week. You can support yourself. This is 1964 and 65. This is your last chance, so please apply yourselves. In the special reading class, next to the special education class, I learned to read faster and faster using a machine that you put your book in and a metal bar comes down, and your job is to read faster before the bar covers up the words. God said, you'll thank me later, because even though you are just a C student, I'm going to let you experience 4 years of college. Through his providence, God also worked on my self-confidence. God said, you're going to letter in high school basketball. But you'll play second string, mostly on the bench. You're going to be a part of an award-winning marching band, but you play fourth chair trumpet. Later, a college president is going to boost your confidence by saying, you have a pretty good voice, you ought to be a preacher. Of course, it takes more than a good voice to be a preacher. The drama coach is going to cast you in some leading roles in college. And finally, I'm going to let you do some broadcasting. You'll dabble in radio in college and start a college news program on a local station. I did a poor job doing the announcing for this newscast, but the girls seemed to like it, so that made it all worthwhile. After all these experiences, God said you'll be ready to anchor, report, and even produce and host a daily magazine show. Question number two. God, I have one more question. Question number three, that is. Is that number two or three? We're three. I have one more question. I want to reach people for Jesus through radio and TV. Can you help me? God said, sure I can, but you've had success in broadcasting, and that's caused you to have too much pride. I'm going to have to teach you some humility through disappointments and roadblocks and frustrations. So first off, I'm going to fire you from a couple of those cherished broadcasting jobs. I'm going to let you experience rejection by letting you sell Fuller Brush door-to-door. And this will be a great pride killer. An introvert trying to sell Fuller Brush is not a good combination. You're going to experience multiple frustrations as you pitch an idea to reach the lost through the use of one-minute Christian TV promos or commercials, and radio commercials, through which you thought was a brilliant idea. You'll meet with Ira North at the Gospel Advocate. You'll pitch the idea to him. He'll listen and say no. But later, you'll be the video production director at his church at Christian Productions. You'll meet with Batzel Barrett Baxter at Liscomb, share your idea about Christian radio commercials. He'll listen, he'll nod, and say no. But years later, after his death, you'll be asked to do a video tribute on his life. You'll contact Herald of Truth and offer your services, and they'll say no. But years later, without them remembering that you applied for a job years before, you'll be asked to help produce a television feature for their organization. And during the waning years of one of your TV broadcasting jobs, you will send a letter to a place called Anchor Point, Alaska, and offer to live and work at a place called KNLS. It's a Christian shortwave radio station that broadcasts to China, Russia, and the Pacific Rim. It's owned by World Christian Broadcasting. You have no idea what it's all about, really, but you're available, and you think you have a talent they might be able to use. They're going to say no. But years later, you'll be asked to help produce their yearly fundraising video, which I have for the past 20 years. You'll travel to St. Petersburg, Russia, and help produce a program called Sacred Treasures, Sacred Roots. It's a video series in the Russian language on biblical artwork at the Hermitage Museum in Russia and the Russian Museum. The Russian people have no idea what the Prodigal Son painting or Jesus on the Cross paintings represent, and your video will show them what they represent. Later, you'll be asked if you could do 3 voiceovers a week for World Christian Broadcasting, which I do, and produce a weekly Southern Friends radio feature for their organization, which I do. It's a feature about stories of fun, stories of faith, and stories of friends. And providentially, some of those stories are audio excerpts from the Stories of Amazing Grace interview program I do here at Madison. And others are radio material that I've gathered from my experience at working at Channel 5 years ago. World Christian Broadcasting has no idea of you being rejected to work for them many years ago. And as a providential bonus, God says, I'm going to give you a variety of experiences to prepare you to use media for Jesus. You'll start a video ministry at the Ashwood Church of Christ, which is now called Woodmont Hills. You'll be called Video Vision, and you'll grow it from one TV and one VCR to a Christian video production facility. And because you're going to be the video director at Christian Productions at Madison, I'm going to give you some providential management skills and organizing experience. Remember that grandfather that lived next to you in Indiana? kind of eccentric, had a wall full of cigar boxes with little pieces of triangular wood glued on the lip where you could easily open the top of the box. And handwritten on the labels on the front were indications what was in the box: keys, pens, pencils number one, pencils number two, row after row, shelf after shelf. Well, he's kind of eccentric along this line, has some OCD tendencies, but he will providentially teach you to help your life get organized and help you to organize the hundreds and thousands of tapes that are in the archive at Christian Productions, what used to be Christian Productions here in Madison. I'm also going to work on your management skills by letting you run a retail store called Radio Shack. I know they're closed now, aren't they? And you know, when you were a kid in Indiana and you lived next door to that old telephone company on the other side of your house, and you would often play and experiment with their discarded telephone parts, their generators and wires and switches and mics in your bunkhouse. Some of those I stole, I confess. And later, remember that electronics class that you had in high school for those not smart enough to go to college. Well, those experiences will come in handy in helping you do some minor video equipment repair and maintenance at Video Vision and at Christian Productions. So all this is going to lead you to, with God directing my steps, to work for 7 different radio and TV outlets, including Channel 5. You'll introduce your Saturn Friends features 3 times a week on Channel 5 News Set with Chris Clark. You're going to direct the Amazing Grace Bible Class TV program. Lynn Sherrill was a camera person, I think, during that program. And also produce Amazing Grace Bible Class features. You're going to go on numerous video mission trips: Papua New Guinea, Israel, Romania, Honduras, Nigeria, and Russia. You'll produce Christian-oriented commercials to be used by churches. You'll help shoot and edit a Spanish TV program called Con la Biblia Abierta, which is with the open Bible. You'll edit a children's program series called Creator's Kids at Madison. You'll co-host a magazine show called ID21. And you're going to allow people to share their own stories once a month in Bixter Chapel on an interview program called Stories of Amazing Grace. So, here I am, 74 years later, after asking 3 questions and sharing how God has worked in my life, to which God says, "Aren't you glad you had those experiences? Otherwise, you would not be my providence today." To which I say, "Thank you, Lord, for providence. I have no more questions. You are in control." And that's my story of providence and how God has worked in my life. Now, how has God worked in your life in what little time we have left here? Any examples that you'd like to share? If not, I'll close with some video excerpts from the past, 3 minutes long, and after that, you are dismissed. Are you ready? Here we go.
Star Station of Texas. It's Souter and Company.
Hello, welcome to another week of Souter and Company. Hello, Harlan. I'm Brother Law. How you doing? Chef Chaz Nicely is over here. Big bunch of people in the studio. Glad to have you all with us.
And satisfaction is our pay, and we have a lot of it.
Sometimes tell people that my real job is raising these children. We have 9, and the rocking chairs are just a byproduct of that.
In my dream world, memories of yesteryear, visions of God, that old piano, those golden years are right here.
Last Supper is really pretty. I cut the picture down into 50 squares, and I painted a grid on the barn, and then I painted a grid on my picture that I was going by. What I did on the little one that I went by, I did exactly on the barn, same thing. I like to see people's faces when they see it. You know, they're really, it really makes them happy.
This new type of vacation Bible school took the form of Noah's Ark in 91, a great fish in 92, and the Sphinx in 93.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
I was doing so great until the children walked in. When they walked in the building a while ago, I started crying.
Today is the day most of the Christian world knows as Easter. It's the ultimate story of good news following bad news.
Something.
I believe you ought to have one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you some stuff here to make. You want to have a piece of copper tubing you'll need.
Okay.
You'll need this wood.
Yeah.
You need these two folds to cover the can. And you need this can. And when you get it all finished, you can supply the hot air.
The what?
You can supply the hot air around the engine.
Hot air?
Yeah.
I'm Larry Souder, and that's Souder and Friends.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Next week, we'll talk about Noah's Ark and try to answer some questions about Noah's Ark. Thank you for coming. What's that?
At least you weren't fourth chair bucket blower.
Oh, bucket blower. Yeah. I was fourth chair.
Where did you live in New Jersey?
Denville. Denville, near
south?
Morristown, north, 30 miles
Morristown?
west of New York.
I lived in Watchung for about a year.
Yeah.
You know where that's at?
Watchung Mountains.
Yeah.
My
dad lived there.
Thank you, sir.
That's really cool. Good to know your story, too. That's, I often think sometimes maybe God's punishing me or, you know, because my daughter was born with spina bifida. Maybe it was something in my past that I did that caused that. You know? So I know where you're at.
Thank you.
And I'll keep you in my prayers.
Okay.
It's a great story.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Quite the story. I don't know if I could condense all mine down like you did. That was just great.
Well, we had no choice.